What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you're wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, and this is The God Show. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with y'all. Today, we have some... For these guys don't know how much respect I have for them. Appreciate they don't know how much love I have for them.
Appreciate it.
If I look at the podcast landscape of black podcasters, I'm going to say black because I'll focus on us more than anything. You guys are like... Everybody else has houses. You guys were the first guys to me that has a warehouse on the block. And it's like, hold the fuck up. They got a warehouse? Hold on. Like, you guys have literally taken the podcast space and shown the world how to build an institution. You guys are the goats of this shit. I'm being honest with y'all. I wouldn't say that.
Appreciate that.
Let's welcome the guys from Earn Your Leisure. Let's go. Troy and motherfucker Rashad. I don't have no lead-ins, nigga. I just do my thing, all right? I'm not a host, nigga. I just like talking shit with my people.
I like to keep it organic.
But I want to tell you guys something first. So nobody in this room knows this, but this is how the God Show starts. Because y'all know if you remember, my co-host was Tamira. I don't know if you remember the girl.
Yep.
Tamira used to work with Earn Your Leisure, or she knows someone over there. She said this at the time. So
yeah.
Tamira comes, so I leave my job at Warner, and I'm paying attention to like, the outside niggas, the niggas that like, cause you know, when you work in the building and the institution, you start feeling like a little uppity, like we the shit. And I'm like, yo, it's a movement going on outside with like niggas is using the internet to like educate Bill. And I was watching y'all. And then when I left my last situation, I remember leaving, I was like, you know what? And the Corday interview just dropped. And I was like, and I told, she came to the office and she was like, yo, I was like, yo, me being naivete to the podcast world, not knowing none of this shit, I know now how important it is, how niggas be paying, like, you know what I mean? Like, knowing nothing. I'm like, yo, it's Teak. Hit the guys for Earn Your Leisure. I saw them do that interview with Corday. Nobody could talk this music shit better than me. And then she was like, cool. Then she came back and she was like, you got to get your following up. And I was like, no, swear to God.
That was not
like 18,000 followers.
That message was not sent by us.
I know it wasn't, but here's the thing. I understand it now because if somebody on my team wants to bring somebody in and I'm like, who is this? You got to give me some kind of momentum to make them interested. So when she said that, I was like, swear. I was like, for real? Man. Hey, somebody pull a camera out. Ask me a question. Swear to God. And that's how the first piece of content uploaded, it was right before that. Then that's why Tamira wound up being on the show, because she was the person asking the questions.
That's a fact.
Yeah, so that's kind of the God Show was really birthed from like just trying to get with y'all. So this is a 360 moment for everybody. I'm proud of us. Let's go.
Job well done.
This shows the importance of consistency.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
But let's get past that. I just want to tell y'all, thank y'all for that. Y'all being here is incredible. But you guys, to me, understand the podcast space, the space better than anybody. And y'all don't come from entertainment. That's the part that makes y'all ill. Yeah. Like 7 years ago, y'all wasn't like stars running around here teaching niggas, having 30,000 people show up to events. Y'all was regular guys. You know what I'm saying? So that's why for y'all to turn that to that, that's like incredible. How did y'all get there?
People, powered by the people, really. Like you said, a lot of people in the podcast space were already celebrities, right? Mm-hmm. Like we see And they all my friends, so I'm not dissing, but I'm just saying that's just a fact, right? Like Nori, he already sold millions of records. Yep. Joe Budden was already an artist already, yep. right? Like even on the sports, Shannon Sharp was already a Hall of Fame player. Yep. Ocho Cinco's already who he is, right? Like Cam and Mace, they already icons in yep. themselves. So they have followings already and they kind of just transition to a new part of their career.
Yeah.
Like you said, us, we started from nothing. Nobody, we didn't. So we always got to give credit to the people yeah. because, you know, providing the information, like you said, our thing was provide information and do it in a way that's digestible. And mm. at that time, it was kind of like a revolutionary idea.
Yeah.
And it was just like word of mouth is the best marketing.
Yeah.
We never really spent any money on marketing, right? Mm. So it's just like organic social media clips, trying different things, writing posts, different, you know, different stuff like that. And then it's like, yo, you heard this, you heard that, you heard that. And then before you know it, like 10 people know yeah. and it's shared and it's passed around. So it's kind of like the music business, same thing, right? Yeah. Like, you know, that's the best form. Like, you know, you look at an artist like 50 Cent when he first started underground mixtapes and it just became like an underground buzz before he got a record deal. Yeah. That's why he was such a big artist by the time it was time for him to go to Shady. So the same thing with us, man. Like, you know, the people just really, once they started making money from it mm-hmm. and they start like, oh, this is actually legit.
Yeah.
Then it just spread like wildfire. And then COVID just took us like over the top.
Yeah.
It's the same thing like your story, right? Like in that story that you was creating the content, you didn't say one powerful thing. It's the same thing that we had in common. It's like, we didn't do it because we were trying to make money.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like y'all, Doug, I watch y'all. I reference y'all. If y'all ever have somebody say I said your name, it's always in reference to you guys are the blueprint to pop, to me, to the new, to 2024 business going forward, right? You, no disrespect, but you guys are asking the questions. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's not like you said, I always say that too, by the way, like these guys were famous. It's, I'm not saying it's easy, right, but if you stay in it, you at least know you got a gang of people that's going to follow you, yeah. that have interest in you. But you guys made the subject the star. Yeah. And not only did you could have left it there. You could have been like, all right, man, nice to meet you. Thanks, Steve Harvey. But y'all was smart. Y'all was like, on the show, y'all like, yo, why don't we do this together? And then all of a sudden, it's, dog, it is literally, yeah. it's like, if anybody is not paying attention to y'all are like, to me, y'all are like, and I'm going to say this, I say crazy shit. By the way, Rashad already told me I say crazy shit. So this will be some crazy shit that he wanted to denounce. But to me, y'all are like the new Hove.
I'll take it.
Let me tell you why.
That's high praise.
Let me tell you why. Because right now, you know Ashcast. Me and Ashcast,
yeah,
we writing a book. He just did the show. We came up with an idea on the show. Like, we was like, because I'm like, I don't think Hov know how many people he made rich. Mm. I don't think he know how many people his lyrics influenced that heard that shit and flipped it. Yeah. I know y'all are fans. You know what I'm saying? I already know. Yeah. Like, nigga, on the way over here, I'm listening to Allow Me to. It's like, this nigga just was like the. He was like the hustler. If you had a hustler in you, he was the blueprint.
Yeah, it's a fact.
Y'all are that now. Yeah. Y'all have made money cool. Y'all have, dog, the most incredible shit. I mean, I'm being honest with you. I'm like, and I done did some big shit in my life. And that's the thing about me, like, but I'm looking at y'all. When I was at InvestFest last year, I'm like, this started, because my mistake, y'all was teachers.
He was a teacher. Okay. I was a financial advisor.
That's why it's crazy what you're saying.
That's what I say. A teacher and a financial advisor made learning about money cool. I don't care if people in there promoting their mixtapes. I don't care what the market share place is. Yeah. It's us. And we're all there trying to figure out how to get higher. That's, Hove has 20,000 people in the room. Yeah. It might be different, but that's some Hove shit.
Yeah.
Y'all making people rich. Y'all get, like, I've learned. This nigga Ian,
Shout out to Ian, bro. Shout out to Ian.
When he did my show, it was like early, and I was like, you know me. He was like, yeah, I fuck with you. I'm like, bro, like I done made money listening to y'all shit.
You gotta put yes in chat. That's,
you know what I'm saying? Like I done made money listening to y'all, and now I'm like, but that's the power of the internet. That's the power of consistency, and that's the power of not being afraid to try. Y'all are the leaders of that, and I don't think that I don't like giving flowers. Like, people like giving flowers. Fuck that. I give people their credit.
Yeah.
Take that shit, because y'all deserve it.
And thank you.
When I was on my way here from my crib, I was listening. I was like, I always like try to get my lead up, and I'm like, and I'm listening to Hov, and I'm like, there's a 15-year-old kid from Little Rock, Arkansas, that don't have access to nothing, and he's trying to figure out how to be an entrepreneur, how to get rich, how to do this shit. He listens to y'all. Nigga, that's him. That's shit 100 years from now, niggas gonna be talking about.
That's a fact. And you know, I was gonna say,
when you live in the moment, like, sometimes you don't even realize it, right? Like, you're so focused on doing and trying to create and trying to add value that you never look back at the impact that you left. But it's interesting that you brought up Jay, and that's, I mean, I don't know if that's a crazy take. I just think that's high praise, but
it's crazy.
I don't think it's too crazy.
Gonna be a nigga like, fuck him. But that's really the truth. What Hov did, here's the why, though.
Like, before all of it, it was like teaching kids. I was like, how do we reach them? And it was the music. And so when I was writing the lessons, I was using Jay's lyrics. I promise you. So like the first lyric, but then I saw him. We was at the Rock Nation roster, and I told him, like, look, yo, you know this financial literacy thing, like, we kind of started this company and I was using your lyrics to start. And he looked and he was like, that's dope.
Yeah, but he knows. that's it. But like, he knows because he has a lot of those moments.
Yeah.
I consult there. I work at Rock Nation. And I still, like, I don't even have a problem saying that, but he knows. But I can, you can tell what spirit somebody was born from y'all. Like, y'all definitely from the Dame Hov, like, when it's time to spit that shit, you know, Rashad comes in like, let me just talk to you, know what I'm saying? We gotta understand the shit we dealing with, you know, like, and then you just back it up with the hammer. I'm like, yeah, these niggas definitely.
Yeah. Now, what you know was ill, though, like, we was in Baltimore the other day, and a kid, he was working, they had, like, the catering company. He was working at the catering company. He was like, yo, Earn Your Legion, man, I grew up on y'all. I'm like,
that's wild, right?
Wow. That's wild.
That's what I'm saying.
But then if you look at it, like, it's almost been 6 years. So it's like, all right, if you 20 years old, you start listening to us when you 14.
Yeah.
Technically, I even did grow up much, but like, that was the first time ever somebody had ever said that, like, that's, I grew up on y'all. Like, that's what we say to, like, all right, we see Nas, we see Jay, we see Kiss. We're talking about, yeah, you, because they helped raise us through their music. So now, we got raised through music. Now people's getting raised through information, through YouTube.
Because the music is terrible. Still, like, illusion. It ain't as good.
But I said, this is still hip hop, though, right? Like, I said, like, this is the next element. This is the next evolution of it. Like, that's wild to hear somebody grew up on we was at a program the other day, and this dude was like, yo, I created this program after listening to y'all. We watching people create businesses because they heard an episode, let alone the people that's like, yo, I made money from listening to y'all.
Nigga.
They actually creating things, and it's like, damn, that's dope. But that was the goal. It was like, we started the show with just me and him on the first couple of episodes. It was like, you know what's more powerful is that we get people in here to share their information. So, like, you watching it because you observant, right? But as we're listening to it, we like,
oh, no, nigga. Trust me. That's what I'm telling you. I already know. Because I tell people, I'm like, y'all had the show y'all did with Joe, and y'all was talking about podcasts. Like, do you think it? And I'm telling people, I'm like, I think the podcast space is just beginning. Mm. And I think that anybody who is trying to be anybody is smart. They should have some sort of podcast or some sort of series, internet series, because in what way do we have time to sit down for an hour and have a conversation if it's not an interview?
Mm-hmm.
Now, people might be, who's watching? Fuck who's watching. Who's talking? Like, when I saw y'all face on trucks, I was like, oh, they got Steve Harvey. They get it. They were Robert Smith. They get it. They understand. And what I'm saying, and my thing is, like, because I grew up, we grew up watching the intentional moves and people saying, like, Earn Your Leisure is y'all album. But y'all were smart enough to know Assets Over Liabilities is going to be our statement when we wear our shirts. And then you're going to show up to our shows. And then we're going to have crews that we put on and y'all putting people on. I had a person work with me for a minute just because he said he worked with y'all. And you figure out real quick, you know. You figure shit real quick, you know. You figure out real quick.
Follow me, y'all can follow my moves.
Yeah, nigga. Like, oh, let me just keep doing what I'm doing. Like, you know, you start hearing words. I'm like, well, that ain't really what I do. But I get it. But y'all have built that shit. And to me, we are the evolution of what hip hop is.
That's a fact.
Like, all we're doing is dropping albums every week.
That's a fact, every week. But it's even more harder, right? Because it's like, most artists drop an album maybe once a year.
Yep.
The cycle is probably once every 2 years.
Yep.
Some artists like Kendrick, and they drop an album once every four years.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like you said, technically we drop an album every single week. And then if you got multiple shows, like, we got three shows that we run. So we drop in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, That's difficult. That's, I think that's, people have to have an appreciation. Cause you hear this, yo, they should lock up microphones. Don't let.
I hate when they do that. I hate that.
So it's like, of course there's going to be, but there's going to be bullshit in any genre.
Yeah.
There's bullshit artists. There's bullshit musicians. But that doesn't discredit the whole entire art form just because you don't like a certain demographic that's been being showed.
And like, you're not going to like every song on the album. You're going to have your favorites. Same way people have their favorite episodes.
That's what I'm saying. So for me, it's like, we like, to, that's what I'm telling people. When people, I'm like, stop dissing pods. We got niggas turning into multi-millionaires from a microphone and just talking to a camera.
That's it.
Because if I'm not mistaken, I think I heard y'all first start off with a camera or something. Like, it was
iPhone.
Like.
iPhone.
Yeah. So I'm like, they're unafraid. Meanwhile, you got people like, I would say if you're going to do a podcast, just don't make it a big deal. But put yourself in a position where you can be consistent. Because if my office wasn't right there, my studio was right here, I don't know how the fuck I would do this shit.
And you said, what you mean? You said don't make it a big deal.
Like, what I mean by that is, like, some people, like, you guys just said, give us a camera and a table and let's talk. The information was the star.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some people are like, I need my set.
Okay.
I need to have my neon. I have to have, and it's like, dog.
Yeah.
It don't matter.
So it's the wrong approach. It's the same thing we tell people all the time. It's the imperfect action that, where it's like, don't wait to start. Just start.
Yeah.
Because especially with us, like that phone that you got, we had two of those. We had to call somebody in to have a third angle.
Yeah.
And like you said, the information was a star. So the quality wasn't great at the beginning, but people appreciated what was being said. And so they rocked with it. And to the point was like, all right, well, now we need to upgrade. So they grow with you.
Yeah. And now
they're growing up with you.
But how proud are they going to be when they like, how proud is it when you say somebody's like, I grew up on you? That's pride. That's nigga. I was there before the world. No, I was there.
Yeah,
like,
I had the green wall.
Yes, nigga. Like when you tell Jay-Z you're a fan, it's like Reasonable Doubt. You don't want to say Hard Knock Life. You know, like, you ain't no fucking fan, nigga. Reasonable Doubt, nigga. I was, it's like, oh, okay, you a fan.
That's a fact.
So yeah, y'all are building it. Like, to me, I just feel like y'all are the smartest guys in the podcast space. And all of you guys are. What do you think the future is for the space? Because y'all are leading us. Y'all leading us.
I definitely think that it's a, we talked about it on, me and Ian talked about it on my other show, Blackout, an influencer recession. Mm. I definitely feel like it's not over.
Yeah.
But I feel like if COVID was boom time for influencers and podcasts, everybody was just content. Because everybody's consuming content because there was nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So.
True.
But now everybody's back outside. And there has been, I think, too much content being produced, right? Because it's kind of lost its, you know, anything that happens over two, if it gets oversaturated, it's not the same anymore.
Sure.
It's a little diluted now. So I feel like it's going to be a rough time for like the next probably 2 years. But then I feel like it'll pick back up. But the cream of the top, the cream of the crop, if you could survive the drought, then you become an authority in the space. And now when everybody else is gone, there's only going to be a few that are really leading the charge.
Yes. It's about what you're doing, right? Like, why did you start it?
Yeah.
The why is the most important.
The only thing that matters.
Right? Like, why did you do it? So a lot of people that came into it, they wanted to market themselves. They want, like, I'm going to make money inside the space. They weren't consistent when they didn't see the money.
Yeah.
Right? And they didn't see that their brand was growing.
Yeah.
Or they was trying to make themselves grow without having a brand.
Mm.
It's different when you see us, right? Yeah, we were shouting Troy, but when you walk outside, it's like, yo, that's Earn Your Leisure.
Yeah.
So the brand grows.
Yes. Right?
When most people don't come in with that mindset, you see them wave it off because they don't have to be consistent. Oh, I'll go back to doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go back to doing that. When it's like, nah, why'd you come here?
Yeah.
Why'd you want to have a conversation? Why did you want to add a voice to this industry?
Yeah.
Right? When people don't have an answer for it, then you see them phase off. And so,
they're trying to get some money.
They're trying to get some money. But that's what I say, like, when you do it for the love and you do it with a purpose, then not only are you helping yourself, but, like, look around this room.
How many lives you changing?
You're changing people's lives. Like, you have a show, but, like, yeah, somebody's on the soundboard. Somebody's doing the camera. Somebody's going to edit this.
Yeah.
And majority of the times, they're going to look like us.
Yeah.
So you provide an opportunity for those people, too. And so, like, I think that grows. I think we start to see bigger productions. The gospel does it. It has a bigger space, right?
Yeah.
Earn Your Leisure looks big. Like, we have the warehouse literally on the block now. And more people get employed. I think though the people who rise to the top and who've been consistent, I think they continue to grow.
What's y'all signs?
We both Pisces.
Oh, y'all creative. Pisces, and they great at they vivid. They got vivid. They can just see shit vividly. Like Toronto Pisces. Toronto Pisces. So, InvestFest.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm do my team. If you with me, y'all better clap for these niggas. They let us on 2 years. They invited us to the barbecue the second time. I wasn't sure I was going to get invited. I was so, you know, ties chained. I was like, let me see. But like, what is the, you know, you got to crazy. If you ain't honest, nigga, what the fuck are you? But like, what is the plan to, like, license it across the world? Is the plan to, like, own it in the U.S.? Like, you guys are businessmen, and I already know that. While today is, you know, we in July, y'all in 2024, y'all already in, like, April 26th, which y'all plans and y'all rollouts.
This guy's good.
You know, I already know, because you can just tell, like, when you do this, is you could just, like, it's like in the music business. You can tell somebody has a great team, and you can tell when, like, them niggas is winging it. They just trying to figure out. They like, where the money at? Where the money at? I want to get it. But, yeah, like, what's the plan for InvestFest long term?
Well, I think first, really just maximizing what we have here. And I feel like, you know, every year we add different things, we learn different things. It's a learning experience. So that's the number one priority, is making sure the user has the best experience possible. Ooh. So, like, even this year, we added things. We have a pitch competition. We've never done that before.
Like Shark Tank style.
Yep.
Fire.
So that's something that's new that we added. We're giving away $25,000 to a woman-led business in healthcare through Lauren London and through HealthMD. So we kind of put that together. We're doing more like give back, try to get people involved. Like, we got Pinky Cole and Derek coming and doing American Sesh. So that was a main emphasis this year, where we wanted to have a way where we can get the audience involved as opposed to us just talking to the audience, right? Yeah. So that was some things that we kind of fine-tuned. Even on, like, learning different things. Like, last year we had some issues with the sound, like the room was so big. So we corrected that this year, like we put carpet down, we cut dead space. We actually could have made that room a little bit smaller, you know. So just kind of, that's the number one priority, is to fine tune the experience to make sure that every single person that comes get as much value as possible and really enjoys it. Yeah. Then from there, you can start looking at expansion. We did do InvestFest in London 2 years ago, and that was great. We did it at Royal Albert Hall. We had like 4,500 people, and that was an amazing experience too. So definitely, I feel like, you know, there's a couple of markets overseas that have been good to us that we've traveled to. So I feel like the product can definitely be exported for sure, because when you look at the vendor marketplace, when you look at the musical performances, when you look at the keynotes, it's a formula that we put together. So like I said, it's just a matter of just really, really getting it perfect, and then looking to see, okay, do we go to LA?
Yeah.
Do we go, like, bi-coastal? Do we go to Canada? Yeah. Do we, like, you know, it's just like kind of seeing what makes the most sense.
Yeah, I think the information is still the start, though.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, I think what makes InvestFest so incredible is that it's responsive information, meaning, like, it changes, right? So, like, if AI is at the forefront of everybody's mind right now, well, let's make sure that our community knows it. Mm. Let's bring the people. That's
a nigga from Philly, by the way. That's not Atlanta nigga.
The Breakfast Club.
Are you dumb?
Just with the mess.
He the nigga yell to turn the phones off too. He's always motherfucker yell turn the phones off. That phone, come on.
That's a fact.
Yeah, but a lot of so like this technology is going to change the future, and people keep hearing it. Mm-hmm. But like, what happens when we actually bring it to the forefront and let you see it?
Yeah.
And what if we bring the largest company that's innovating, like an NVIDIA, and they're talking about it? Mm-hmm. Like, where else can you have that happen?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It becomes a transformative experience. And so we always want to make that at the forefront. Like, responsive education is important, but seeing it in real time, and how do you activate into it? And then we always have the opportunity to highlight people. Like, you love that. It's like Summer Jam.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you hot, you're going to make stage. Right? So every year, we're looking like, what's hot? What's the hottest thing? Who's the newest talent?
Yep.
Who can we highlight? Who deserves to be up here?
Yeah.
Who can now give the information to the people that they haven't heard it before? And so it gives us an opportunity to that, but then in our marketplace, it gives us an opportunity to highlight businesses.
Yeah.
Right, from our community.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, the marketplace gets
you was in there. You was in there.
The marketplace is lit. Yeah,
that's the most lit part of the whole thing. It feels like Harlem in the 1940s or some shit. Like,
right?
It's just vendors everywhere. Like, everybody on the corner selling it, and you can be loud. Like, it's
crazy.
Incredible.
You was in there last year, right? So, like, coming to see that, because, I mean, InvestFest is unique. Like, what was that like for you, even experiencing it?
Yeah. To be honest with you, for me, the see, I'm the people, I'm more like what Rashad just said with how you have, I want to make sure the people engage with it, right? Mm. So like I focus more on the smaller rooms and the room with the vendors than I did the big room, because that's a big grand conversation. And sometimes in those conversations, you know, rightfully so, we celebrate each other. If I'm sitting down with you in front of 20,000 people, I want to just get, so Troy, tell me how you made all your money. Rashad, tell me. Like, you know, you want to be like, man, you've done all these great things. So I get it. But like, I like the hand-to-hand combat, the word of mouth. So to me, like, bro, I was blown away. Mm-hmm. And like, in my business, the music business, the most powerful thing you can do is put an ass in a seat. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the most powerful thing you can do, is you can sell a ticket. Mm-hmm. And you guys selling 30,000 tickets. Nigga, that's yay shit. Y'all need your own deal with Nike. Like, I'm being real. Because that's how we really are that. Like, yeah. You don't think niggas is watching how niggas is dressing? What yeah. they wearing? Shades? Yeah. Like, we really are that. We just... It's just a new model.
That's a fact.
Yeah. So y'all, y'all was setting it. That's why I was like, I would love, like, I feel like I'm being honest with you, y'all are the institution. Like, I got my little hut, but you know, it's like every time you come home, you like, look at that shit up there. It's so long. Slow down, my nigga. Slow down. Look at that. Yeah, kids be like, man, look at this. I'm like, yeah, shut the fuck up, man. Shut up. Daddy, we put a house in the music business. I'm learning this shit. You know what I'm trying to say?
Bruce Wayne Estate.
I was about to say, so do y'all have, like, so with the EYL network, that's another thing. Y'all the reason why I have more than one show. I swear to God. Because I don't understand. Like, dog, what people don't know is that I'm in the music business full time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like only day I shoot is today, right? I shoot shows in one day. But like, nigga, I be having email. That's my phone is up in case I get an email. I got deals I'm closing. I got contracts going out. So I really don't have, I'm kind of like a fake internet guy where I like film. Mm-hmm. They edit everything, send it to me, and I put it out. I don't even get caught up in that. But you guys are like, you guys can do it. You guys like, actually, this is a business for y'all. This is I'm building into a business, but it wasn't like that for me. But I got lost in what I was going to say, my question, what I was going to ask you. But what I'm saying is that y'all the shit, man. And like, and we got to give each other. And the problem that we have in our community is that we feel like by saying that, it's taking something from us.
That's
Nah, nigga. Hov did that. So hopefully you have to go through that. Like, y'all niggas is the blue, like, learn from the blueprint. Don't fight it. That's so if somebody wants to start a podcast right now and they trying to start up. No, I want to get back to EYL Network.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a question. See, motherfucker? Let's be clear. This is the earliest I ever did an interview before. These niggas is... The earlier the interview you get, the more corporate the guys are, you know you're working with. The later the interview you get, when a nigga walking at 11 o'clock at night, it's like, it's going to be one of those nights. When niggas start the day, that's niggas that's like, we got a 10, 15 minute break, got to do this. Hey, listen, we don't have time for no other shit. This is LL Cool J energy when he did the show. This is LL energy. It was like very like button the fuck up. So you guys that, but with EYL Network, like you guys are the first people that actually looked at, to me, that I know of that looked at your network as a TV station, mm-hmm. not our network where we just post our content. Like, it's like, nah, we got Market Mondays, you know what I'm saying? We got this day, we got... So for me, it's like, where did all this come from? I feel like it came from, I'm just guess.
Yeah.
I feel like it came from Rashad.
Yeah.
I feel like Rashad was like one of those like Dame Dash, like fans, but he knew to be quiet. You know, you knew not to get loud, you know, because Dame did my show too. He started a lot of shit. That's my nigga.
I saw it.
He started a lot of shit. But that doesn't take from the fact that he's brilliant. And he saw, he like, what I like to say is like, you guys understood the difference between the character being on a photo on the wall.
Right.
Right, you guys understood the difference between taking the character out the photo, putting him on the table and saying, look at the shoes he has on, what can we dress him in now? Look at the pants, look at the hat. What can we put, what friends can we put around him to make this character cooler and cooler? Like, you saw the brand and how to vertically integrate it. I learned that from ASCAP. I don't want to act like I'm
ASCAP. I mean, Dame is a good place to start.
I feel like it's you. I feel like you got the blueprint. I just know it. Like, I just could tell.
Yeah, it's all of us. It's a collective effort. I mean, you know, it's one of these things, like, with the EYL Network, it honestly happened organically because Ian, so shout out to Ian. He's the first person that actually had a show and with, like, idea. So when we said, I posted on my Instagram page that we wanted to start a network.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of times you just got to speak things into existence, even if you don't have the formalized plan.
Just to hold yourself accountable sometimes.
Right. Yeah. So, and then from, and in the, we had just did an interview with him. and or Earn Your Leisure. So then in the comments, he put the like he put his hand up emoji. Like,
yeah.
So I'm like, yo, you serious? He's like, yo, yeah, I want to do this. So then we all. Yeah. All three of us.
I got a text.
Got on a call, and then we just like, yo, because we was kind of already doing YouTube lives with him already during the pandemic, because everybody was just interested in stocks, and those just YouTube lives was catching crazy. And then, you know, and at that time he was wearing a suit.
Yeah,
he was like in front of.
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, aka the Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about YKTV Magazine, which is the number one magazine for prison entertainment. These prisoners are sitting in jail. They have nothing to do but read these magazines and read your ads, buy your music, support your business, anything that you can do that's online commerce. They already have published over 140 magazines with 36 major artists that have covered it, and I'm giving you an opportunity to advertise this magazine and get directly to an audience that you know has the time and the money to spend. Info at the bottom, info at the God Show. Holla at us, whether you're an artist, producer, whoever you are. We can help you with your business. Holla at us to get to YKTV.
A computer, like, you know what I'm saying?
Now you have to turn around.
Yeah. Now he wear the jerseys and the hat. Before that, he was wearing the suit. The tie in front of, like, he had two computers.
Yeah, it was so crazy. He was yelling out the, like, yo, what's the price? He was like, hold on a sec. $149.66 Yeah. Like, where you pull that from?
That's why I was like, how do you become that? How do you become that in life? Like, where everybody's playing basketball, listening to rap, like, how do you become that? By the way, we don't talk enough about the clubhouse era where niggas was just throwing stocks out.
That's a fact.
Bro.
That's a fact. Clubhouse was
crazy. It was things, you know, like, I bought a stock. It was the most ghetto.
Clubhouse was the most ratchet shit.
I just had to bring that up because Ian really is the real deal.
Ian is the GOAT. So, yeah, so we started that, and Market Mondays just took off right away.
Mm.
It was like a cultural phenomenon. People, at that time, we had call-ins.
Mm.
So you can call in, ask a question. It was during the pandemic, so stocks was going up. Everybody was at home, so everybody just thought. Now we had two shows that was working, so it was like, oh, now we really have a network at this point in time. And then shout out to 19 Keys. He came in. He had a show already that he was doing, but he was a little inconsistent. He wasn't doing it on a regular basis. So we had developed a great relationship with him.
Yeah.
Once you, like you said, it's a great networking just to have this conversation. So when we met him, we interviewed him and we developed a relationship with him. So he like, yo, he wants to reconvene his show. So we like, yo, why don't you do it with us? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got a proven formula here. We got Earn Your Leisure, we got Market Mondays. Yeah. So we think that this would be a dope fit. So he rebranded it, came up with a new name, High Level Conversations, a kind of a new format, very long stack. There's like 3-hour interviews, 2.5-hour interviews. And then that just went out the park, and then from there it was like, all right, now we got, you know what I'm saying?
It's interesting because it's the same thing. Like when we had Cash, he was over there with us, it was like, and Shanzy too, shout out to Dave Shanzy, there was a similar characteristic. I'm looking at these guys and I'm like, yo, they're great, but they just need a little tweak. Right, like if they had the consistency, it'd be a crazy show. And I seen Dave Chance talk about that conversation a lot. Like, when I wasn't trying to play him, I'm just like, yo, you're great.
Hey, man, listen, when you're trying to come up, my nigga, if you worried about how you feel after what a nigga tell you, you ain't really trying to come up.
It was interesting. Yeah, it was interesting to hear how he took the conversation, but obviously he's turned it into something incredible. And same thing with Keys. It was like, there would be like months before you hear another episode. I was like, oh, you know, if he was just more consistent. But what people didn't realize is that at the time, like, we was dealing with Black Effect.
Yes.
And so.
Oh, yeah, I was. I remember that.
But we learning, right? We in this space. And so if we looking at Black Effect and they got these shows and then we figuring out like, yeah, we know how the business works and they're doing it, yeah, we should just create our own too. And so every time we get into a new space, again, we getting educated on it, we learning about it, and then we execute it in real time. And people are watching us do it in real time. And so once we get it, it's like, all right, well, let's get this show. All right, now that Earn Your Leisure has become a staple and it's part of somebody's everyday life, let's get another day, right? Yeah. We was dropping that on Tuesdays. It was like, all right, well, Market Mondays. There goes your Monday. There goes your Tuesday. Obviously, now that's evolved. Blackout is now your Wednesday, right? We teaching on Thursday. So, like, every day we become a part of the natural fabric of what you're trying to do. Like, you might go listen to music. The same way you was waiting for, the kids probably don't remember, like, Tuesday was the album drop.
Tuesday was the album drop.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When we was waiting for that, now you're waiting for the next information. Yeah. Or, like, now when it's Thursday at 11:59, you're waiting for that new single. You're waiting for that information. It's like, all right, Market Mondays coming. I can't miss that. Monday Night Football on, but nah, Market Mondays is on.
Yeah.
It's a shift. You know what I'm saying?
But it also, it's a different offering, too. So it's like Market Mondays is about stocks, investing, and we add some social commentary to it. And then Earn Your Leisure is when we interview people, right? That's like a variety show. We interview anybody that has to do with business.
Yeah.
Blackout, the new show that we started, that's me and Ian, and that's opinion-based show.
That's when y'all talk shit. That's when we go crazy. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. That's going viral every week. It's something to get every week. Saying something crazy.
And then Keys, he comes in with a whole different... He talk about aliens. He could talk about being vegan. Like,
you know, it doesn't matter what he's talking about.
What he's going to talk about. So it's like... There's a little bit for everybody. Because some people, like, I see people, like, yo, I watch Blackout. Like, that's my shit. I like the wild shit. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying?
The bigger shit. Like, the honest shit, right?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. We have the duality to do it.
But I was going to say, it also gives them a chance to get to know y'all personalities, right, which is like, these guys, they also understand the culture and everything. Yeah. I got to ask y'all a question.
Yeah.
So I'm going to call y'all an institution. We've already accepted that. Now, because of that, there are certain standards that you guys have to hold people to that others don't, right? In the world of the internet, there are a whole lot of scammers. You know, I can try to make $1 million in 30 days. All I got to do is this. And they like, you know, they want to do that. Like this two-part question. Like, how did you, because I know it had to happen at least once where it was like, this nigga. Like, damn, you know what I'm saying? It had to happen at least once. How'd you handle that? And how do you deal with it now? Like, because there could be people that's like, hey, nigga, we got like, nigga, what the fuck? What the fuck we doing, nigga? I'm trying to get my product in front of these audience and make some money. Y'all like, no. Like, we in business with like some real people right now. We can't play like that. Like, how do y'all deal with that?
Well, yeah, for sure. So I'll answer the second question first. So everything changed for us. As you grow, you learn. Like, you know what I'm saying? So when we first started, you gotta realize we just coming off of like our careers.
Yes.
And on the internet. We're not like trained journalists or like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like we are part of an internet movement, and every other people are part of an internet movement. You don't really know, like, oh, this person's not really that person. That person's not really that person. You learn as you go, like, oh, okay, now you kinda be able to navigate it. So now, like, we really only talk to really like entrepreneurs, people that have businesses and stuff like that. We don't really talk, and no disrespect, because I have friends that are internet marketers.
Yeah.
But we haven't really interviewed an internet marketer in a long time. It's just a risk reward ratio. You never really know. And then one person can mess it up for a whole group of people, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we definitely had a few instances like that. But the thing about it is that, it's like I said, it's like InvestFest. Like, we had issues at InvestFest as far as the sound, right, was an issue. People waiting online, that was an issue. You don't run from that, or you don't act like that didn't happen. You correct.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Yeah. So, like, all right, the sound, we hired a new AV team. We put carpet down. We made the room smaller. For the line issue, we hired a logistics team.
Yep.
Because, you know, we don't want people waiting online for an hour. Like, you know what I'm saying? They paid money. They should be able to get in. Yep. We learned. That was a mistake that we made. We learned. So that situation, we hired we have somebody that vets people. So it's like, if we don't know somebody, like, we have a woman. She actually used to work in daytime television. She's a lawyer. So we'll send them the information, and then she'll send us back a report on this person. Like, okay, this is their background. This is da 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 da. And then it's like, okay, we can say, okay, we rocking with this person. Or we don't rock with this person. We didn't know that when we first started. We didn't know you had to vet somebody. Like people, it's easy to criticize something if you're looking in the hindsight. But it's like, okay, if you've never done something like that,
we just trying to figure this shit. We all trying to figure this out in front of the camera.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's easy to criticize somebody if you've never done something.
Yeah.
Right? But when you actually do something, then you realize anybody that's driven a car before has had an accident at some point in time.
Sure.
Somebody backed into you hit a curve, you hit, like, now I could be like, damn, you're a reckless driver if I never drove a car ever in my life. But when I get behind the steering wheel, I realize some things are out of your control, and then you learn from it, right? You learn that, okay, now I slow down when I make a turn, I do this. When I'm 13, 14 years old, just learning how to drive, I didn't know that. I didn't know that you had to look behind you the first time I drove, I just backed up. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you learn as you go, but, you know, we've been moving so quickly that we had to learn quickly. So definitely, you know, we definitely made a lot of adjustments as we went along, but that's one of them as far as, like, you know, and then naturally we just people that we fuck with, a lot of different people. Yeah. But you learn that everybody doesn't have your best interest. There are some hustlers, people like that, or they'll appear to be your friend, but they have different agendas on their own, right? Yeah. So now you got to kind of be a little bit more closed off, a little bit more
reserved
guarded
by who you let in your space. Yeah, somebody can leverage you.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, right? You go from creating something like in a living room to now, like when you walk outside, people are trying to be on your platform.
Yeah, or take pictures with you to say, I'm up. Look
I was
at
with
me.
Them.
I was here, like,
I was with them.
Out here making moves. Nigga, I just was walking down the street. I just saw you, bro.
Yo, it's
like,
crazy.
Yeah.
It's a quick shift, but like you said, we have to learn on the fly. Like, we're adjusting to it, right? Yeah. So, like, we're learning. But the most important thing is that we understand the responsibility, right? That's something like oh, wait, people trust us. Right. And so vetting that vetting process became important. Understanding our responsibility in this space became super important. It was like, no, like you're like, saying, like y'all are the guys.
Like if they on your shit, it's like that's all the vet I needed.
That's
they didn't earn your leisure.
That's the last the last piece that they needed. But we also said, like, make sure that you're educating. Yep. Educate yourself. Even when you hear the episode, educate yourself. Right. Because even when we do the information, like we did a couple of businesses. Right. It didn't work out for us. That's mm-hmm. fine, right? Mm-hmm. But what do we learn from it? Yeah. How do we implement it? How are we transparent about it? Yep. I think people respected that.
That's the dopest part.
Yeah, I think people, because they're watching it in real
time. Now you're making mistakes. Like, I'm watching you try, which is always telling you to do at home. Just try. Like, stop and watch our shit, though. And then after you watch our shit, then you go try. You know what I'm like?
That's a fact.
Make the time. So I wanted to ask y'all a question. And this is just me being random. Why wouldn't someone like BET, or maybe they have, came to y'all and said, let us buy the EYL network, let us integrate that into, because to me, I feel like all these platforms are losing because they're worrying about the advertisers and they lost track of the people. Now, it's just reruns. Meanwhile, y'all a bigger star than anybody on BET network right now. If I'm them, I'm like, come in here and run it. Come in here and build out our programming. Like, if that happened, would you consider? But in my world, my thing is, why doesn't things like that happen? I don't understand it.
I think they're still trying to figure out. Everything is new. You know what I mean? Even for us, we're still figuring out the landscape. So I feel like for traditional media has run the same way for 50 years, right? Where it's like, okay, we get advertisers, we're on the goal was always be on television.
Yes.
So the idea that Kai Cenat is bigger than any movie star, black movie star in the world right now, right?
Yes.
You could honestly say maybe even any movie star.
Any movie star, period.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, he could literally walk down Times Square right now and
shut it down.
It's a fucking frenzy. And this from streaming on YouTube.
Yep.
So that's kind of hard to understand. Like, this is a whole new wave
of
media. So I think the traditional media outlets are still trying to figure out how they navigate this space. And the new creators are trying to figure out how to navigate this space as well. So it's going to take both of us to kind of come together and work, because they have resources and relationships and infrastructure and money that the creatives, for the most part, don't have.
Exactly.
The creators have the influence and the creativity and the ability to move quickly.
And to keep your eyes on you.
Right.
More than anything.
They don't have, right? So in a perfect world, it's a partnership situation that we can work together, right? And we can add value to you. You can add value to us. So we're definitely open to any type of relationship that's what we built our platform on, is working with other people.
Yeah.
Like, we got a partnership with United Masters. We do different stuff with different companies, but we haven't done something at scale like what you're referring to. But I think that definitely would be something that would be beneficial.
People have approached it, but again,
y'all should, because. Dog, if I'm BET, like, I was at the, like, first of all, no disrespect to BET, it's a black owned network, black network. But what I want,
that part is important.
Yeah, but even the, it feels like it's just a way for money going out. Like, if y'all are doing work, they're just placing things on TV to keep the advertisers happy. And and the only time we truly watch BET is award season. So when I was watching the awards, I'm like, why don't BET network feel like the awards? Because remember, they had a moment where they put a spotlight on black designers, and I'm like, that's all on brand with what y'all do.
I think Revolt was the closest to try to do that, because they had a lot of corporate relationships, a lot of advertising money, and they still was connected to the culture. We'll see how this new rebrand works with them, but I think that was probably the closest to a company that was on the major side trying to figure it out with the independence and trying to figure out this new age of media.
Because it always, I mean, you come from the world of music, but like, who's making the decision?
Yeah.
Right, like you said, the part that you just said is important, right? Like it's not a black owned network.
It's a black network.
It's a black network, but Viacom owns it.
Yep.
Right, they also own CBS. Yep. So when is CBS gonna reach out?
Yep.
When's NBC, when's CNBC, right? They're all in the same umbrella, right? Universal owns that. So who's making the decisions? But what's happening, what we're seeing is that the information and the people that are listening to the information are starting to infiltrate these spaces. Mm. Where it's like, yo, do you know these guys? Do you know these guys? Do you know these guys? Have you heard of these guys? And what we're looking at is like, all right, let's keep going. Let's just keep going. But as we go, we're trying to tell the people that, like, yo, look, we about to kick this door in.
Exactly.
Make sure that y'all are adding that value, because once we kick this door in, we're trying to bring people with us.
I always make suggestions on the show. Most people love them. You don't have to listen. You guys should find a way to do a documentary on InvestFest and sell that shit to Netflix right now. Listen, I didn't know. I'm like you. That's why I can identify when you sitting there. I'm like, oh yeah, he thinks he goes. So I'm just saying, I'm like, bro, like, the story of telling the story of how, listen, I always say this, anytime I tell somebody black, I'm like, look, the biggest export that black people bring to America is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Nigga, right. I don't give a fuck where you at in America. If it's a black man at that table, it looks way cooler because it's a black man there.
That's
right?
That's
fair. Black people, you two have made investing and learning about money cool. Think about how uncool it is right now to be, I don't give a fuck, I make money. Think about how uncool that is right now.
That's what I said to do on the floor.
Y'all, I'm about to say we, like I did it. Like,
nah, you part of it.
Black people, I'm about to say, like, I'm going to take credit and shit. No, I'm being honest. Like, y'all literally have made it learning cool, bro. Like, my son can watch y'all stuff and learn how to make money. Like, that's not, that's not no, you know,
that's what,
like,
I'm saying. It goes, when Ye was like, where I'm from, the dope boy is the rock star.
Yeah.
But now they're looking at, like, you're the rock star.
That's my point.
You're the rock star. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a complete shift.
Yeah.
That's happening. And like, you're part of it. We
yeah,
can't,
I'm a
like,
rock artist. Y'all rock stars. See, listen, in my business, I might be the shit, but on this world, I'm a rock artist. Like, but y'all rock stars. Y'all let me open for y'all. I appreciate that, by the way, but that's what it really is.
The documentation of it is important.
For sure.
Right? The same way, like, I'm always referencing the Hard Knock Life tour. Like, I remember watching that.
Me too.
Right? Like, we watched when Jay did the Black album, and he had the show in the Garden.
I was there,
the Fade to Black. I went to see I was at the concert. And I went to see the movie when it debuted.
Me too. I could see me in the movie. Like, it's, I could see me in the movie.
I was too far.
We won. The crazy thing is, we won tickets. I was literally about to get my first artist signed, and randomly we won tickets.
Yeah.
And it was like, then we flew up.
To this day, it's the greatest show I've ever seen.
Period.
I've ever seen. And I've been on a lot of shows. It's still the greatest show I've ever seen.
I ain't gonna lie, Goody Mob at the Tabernacle was incredible. Listen.
But we remember it, and it was documented as a piece, but I'm like, even now, it's come back, but it hasn't come back to hip hop.
Yes.
Right? And this is a new way. Like, Beyonce did the movie, right, for her tour. We saw Taylor Swift do the movie for her tour. The documentation is happening. It just hasn't happened for us yet. And it hasn't happened in this space.
Yeah.
So why not create it?
Yeah.
Right? Because this is the information. Even though you love those songs, this is the information that changed your life. And you can go listen to those songs, too.
For sure. So I know for the sake of time, I just want to run through. I got a little game we play.
Let's do it.
I'm gonna play it with y'all. It's really quick. I'm only giving three. So we have this game we play called Making the Cut, right?
Okay.
Where I give y'all three options.
Okay.
And you guys get to pick one. So I like to say options. So I might say the Knicks, the Yankees, and the Giants. And you got to say, I'm cutting the Knicks.
Got you.
Signing the Giants. I'm developing them, right? So if you decide to be politically correct, most shows ask you to drink, smoke. We don't do that. We have a nonprofit that we partner with. You just donate $20.
Okay.
Cool J said that's too low, but I'm like, it's more about the game being fun. You donate $20 for every question you don't want to answer.
Gotcha.
So I'm gonna just give you guys like three.
All
right. And I feel like y'all the era that I come from, so I want to just get right to it, right? So I'm gonna go the Black Album, the Blueprint, Hard Knock Life.
And what's the options?
One you're signing.
Signing.
One you're dropping. And one you're going to put in development. But you got to say I'm dropping the one I'm dropping. You can't just, some people like to not say the last one. You got to say it.
That's a hard, that's a tough one. Because that's a good question. Because they all had different moments. They was all moments. They was moments. There was moments. I'll say this. I think I know what you're going to say. I'm going to go off brand for what most people would say. I'm going to give you a reason why. I'm going to sign Hard Knock Life. Because that's volume two, right?
Yep. Yeah, volume two.
I'm going to sign volume two. The reason why I'm going to sign volume two is that there is no Jay-Z without that.
Okay.
That's the, he sold 5 million records. That's what catapulted him to where he is, right? So you got to sign the centerfold album, the most powerful thing in his catalog that really took him to where he is. The next one is, you said the development.
The Black Album and the Blueprint, and you got to cut one and you got to develop another.
I'm a cut Blueprint. I'm a cut Blueprint. Unpopular.
Ooh, the room just said,
unpopular opinion. Shout out to Hov. That Blueprint. It's a few songs on Blueprint that I don't really fool with, but that Black Album. I remember albums by moments. So
yes.
I was in school in Florida, and that Black Album came out. Man, that Black Album and Get Rich or Die Trying, they came out similarly, like around like a year or two apart. Like,
same year.
That Black Album, bro, man, that was different, bro. Like,
I'm gonna let you go. Hold on. You gotta finish. So, which one you cut?
I'm gonna cut Blueprint.
And we developing the Black Album.
Yeah,
okay.
So, I'm
even though it doesn't,
by the way, Troy,
development.
I ain't the only nigga got a bad take now. He got another take. They gonna get him. He said, what?
I'm signing volume two.
Okay.
Because the moment when that came out, it was interesting. It was like, we from 914, so it was like DMX was coming out.
Ooh, yep.
So X is 98.
Yes.
And Jay's putting this album out in 98. And at the time, I'm still a huge Nas fan. To this day, I'm still a huge Nas fan. But then when he said that, I gave you Prophecy on my first joint. Y'all lamed out. Then we put the second one came in, so I X the name out, put Jig on top. I'm like, yo, he's coming from his throne.
Yeah.
I was like, I like this.
Yeah.
And then obviously all the huge records that came from that. So I'm signing that. I'm definitely having Blueprint as... What's the next thing?
The development.
Just because, I mean, that's...
So you're cutting the Black Album.
Here's why I'm cutting the Black Album. I love the Black Album.
PSA.
I love it.
Allure.
That Black Album.
My favorite JC song of all time is Allure.
Me too.
Favorite of all time.
I always say that's my favorite JC record of all time. Yep.
I'm only putting it in the cut category, and I love it, and the show was incredible. I never forgave him for Justify My Thug. No disrespect.
Nah, I got you.
But I just never, I'm like, that we didn't need that.
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't need that.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what I'm saying?
It is true, by the way. It's not needed. It's not needed. And it was a remake of a Madonna record. It was kind of like,
it's nasty.
He felt angry. The Black Album to me, when I listened to it, it felt like angry ho.
What's the biggest song on Blueprint?
Probably Ace to the Izzo.
Not the most commercial, but like the most impactful song.
I ain't gonna lie, Song Cry.
There's a bunch of them.
Cause that PSA.
PSA is
ain't
that
nothing
PSA.
Like it.
That PSA different.
It's like
that PSA is different.
There could be like this classic albums and then it's perfect albums.
Okay.
Right? Like I feel like Blueprint is a perfect album. Right? I feel like Black Album is a classic album.
Yes.
It's like Kanye was close with
that whole lot
with Graduation.
Drunken
Heart Girls changed it to be a perfect album.
Yo, you're so right because the blueprint always got the credit because it was just so perfect from beginning to the end.
Yeah. Takeo was on there.
Hola Ovito.
That whole lot of Vito.
I ain't fool with that.
It's better than Justify My Thug.
It is. That's true.
Lyrical Exercise.
That's on Blueprint.
That's what I'm saying.
The girls,
you don't like that? That's crazy.
Okay,
nah, it's a mixtape song.
I got three more for y'all.
Yeah.
Debut albums.
Oh, let's do that.
Nas, Illmatic, 50, Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah.
The Notorious Big, Ready to Die.
Easy, I'll start.
Let's go.
Nas has the greatest album that's ever been created. I told him this.
Shout out to
Nas. And then Billboard just gave him the number one ranking of the best hip hop album of all time. Illmatic is the.
Billboard following y'all. I'm telling you, Billboard.
Crescendo.
Yes.
That is the crescendo.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, and we just had this conversation last week. We were at dinner with him. Shout out to Esco. But I said, when you talk about hip hop and that, the way guys was rhyming,
yes.
From like Native Tongue,
yep.
Like Das Effects,
yep.
And then Snoop came through and kicked the doors in.
Yep.
But then Nas came.
Yep.
Wu-Tang was there, and then Nas, the way he rapped, it was like, this is the evolution of Rakim. This is the next, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was a time where it was like Rakim KRS, yeah. And then Nas came, and it was like, all right, no, this is the guy. And then the way the production was laid out.
Yeah.
Like, Cruz had one producer.
Mm-hmm.
NWA only had one producer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The Juice Crew had one producer. BDP had one producer.
Mm-hmm.
Nas got five producers together to put together an album. Large Professor, Q-Tip, Pete Rock, Elliot, like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And created a masterpiece.
Give me the next two. Which one you?
Get Rich or Die Trying is number two. When we talk about moments in New York history and in hip hop history, there aren't many that are bigger than when Get Rich dropped and 50 came through and just completely changed the game.
Probably one of the greatest runs in hip hop
history. Oh my gosh. Shout out to 50.
Yes.
Headliner at InvestFest. That moment still stands the test of time. Obviously, what he did in his career after, but that moment and that album, I mean, that was crazy. I got a cut Ready to Die.
I can't believe
it. Here's why. Because that came out in the Nas era. And at the time, what? You had to like either. Oh, it was like, I had to like either or. And I was a Nas guy.
Got you.
Right? I was a Nas guy. And Ready to Die is a classic album.
Yeah.
But the One More Chance remix isn't on that album.
It is now.
Now.
Streaming has made that available.
The remastered
version.
Okay,
the remaster.
That is on it. It's great. It's great. It's a great album. And there's plenty of classics. Juicy, Big yeah. Papa. But Life After Death is a better album. So I would cut it.
I want to listen when that's debatable. I will fly. I want to just argue with you. What? All right, well, go ahead. I got you.
Make you a classic like my first LP. Shout out to Big. Rest in peace, Big. Now, Big changed the game, man. But Nas, definitely. I felt like Nas. That's the number one.
So you signing Illmatic.
I signed Illmatic. 50. That yeah. I follow the same blueprint. 50. That Get Rich or Die Trying is just crazy, man. That just to this day, like people still,
yeah.
You play Wanksta, you play Many Men. Donald Trump should have walked out to Many Men.
He would have did it. He would have got the black vote. If he would have came out to Many Men, he would have never been it.
So yeah, I cut Big, but like I said, Big's album crazy. The Warning.
Warning's mm-hmm. on there. Yep. Suicidal Thoughts.
Unbelievable.
I was about to say, I'm gonna be honest with you. Mine's reverse. I would sign Ready to Die. I think Ready to Die is the most perfect debut album from a rapper in history.
Better than Doggy Style?
Yes. And the reason why is because, hit me out. From an album standpoint of like guys that are in the room that understand you got to create every day. It starts with him being born. The music is playing, Shaft is playing, then you get Milk is Chilling coming, and then you hear the parents like, this motherfucker, out my fucking. So it starts, and then it comes with him saying, I'm robbing a train, nigga. What? Goes to jail, gets out. You know what I'm saying? And then he kills himself at the end.
But you know what?
What about the album cover? Where'd that come from?
Niggas bit off Nas shit. I tell you this.
That was good. You got me. See? I like that. You got me because I didn't know that.
I tell you this, though. I think it's just a matter of preference. Because, sure. Like, for me, like, I always, if you really think about Nas, that album's different, too, because it was no commercial songs and it was no songs about girls.
No interludes.
So, but I'm just saying that's rare, though, to have an album with not one song about a girl, but that was just the grimy element. Like, that's what, that resonated, especially, like, when Illmatic came out, I was 10 years old. So, it's like, the things that he's talking about, like, that helped raise us, like,
That's true.
And it was just raw. Yeah. And it was just like, I'm not trying to cater to nobody. I'm not trying to cross over. Big had Puff. So he already kind of had that, yo, I'm going to give you this juicy vibe.
We got to market you the right way.
But that was Big's personality also, right? He wanted to cater to the ladies. Yep. He wanted to do that. So I guess it just depends on what you was into. But just that raw element, like Nas, I don't think it's ever been captured ever since. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's really been able to just not cater to women, not get a commercial single, not do none of that.
Now, actually, you just gave me a good argument that, like, well, I respect Illmatic more because I would have dropped Illmatic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. What he just said is perfect, right? Like, Puff is executive producing this. He's already had success with Jodeci. He's had success with Mary J.
He knows
the formula, right? Like, nope. He's like, yo, you're not the best looking guy. Well, yo, we can dress you up.
Yes, he polished it.
Black and ugly as ever. However, I stay coochie down to this. I'm gonna make you a star, yep, even with your appearance, because the talent is so there.
Yeah.
But Nas is like, who's his biggest co-son? Large Professor?
New York, man. New York.
So, like, listen to Illmatic. Man. If you listen to Illmatic right now,
yeah,
you'll feel like you're walking through Queensbridge.
And it had no famous guest appearance. It only had AZ was the only appearance, and at the time, nobody had heard of AZ before. Big had celebrities.
Meth.
He had Meth. He had people on the album. So, yeah, shout out to Big, but. Yeah,
I could talk hip hop with y'all all day. I could tell. I'm gonna do the last one. I wanted to go different places because I like hip hop. Like, I love this shit.
Yeah.
All right.
Likewise.
I'm gonna go MC Drake, Kendrick, Cole. All
right.
Shout out.
Just MC.
I'm saying. I wanted to. I was saying MC was what I was going, because I could have went. I have so many ways I could go with y'all, but I like y'all hip hop takes. So I'm like,
you said MC as far as
like, I'm to my y'all label, y'all three.
Oh, who y'all signing to?
EYL? Oh, yeah. Like,
well, label. Drake is the obvious choice.
So you're doing business. You know he's a capitalist, right? You know he's a nigga like, who's gonna make the most money? Like, let's focus on that.
Exactly. If I'm running a business,
we never seen a run like Drake in hip hop history. Dude dominated for 15 years, been number one consistently, has never taken a summer off, has hit every different genre, went from house music, went from, what was that album they did?
Honestly, Nevermind.
What kind of genre was that?
It's like,
it's house.
It's like house. House. It's house music. He did the dance hall vibes. He went to London, got with Central C, did that. Some people say he's a culture vulture, and he's
did the joints with Bad Bunny,
and he's riding waves. But even if that's true, it's still difficult to try to, you know, do every different thing, and it all sounds good.
Yeah.
Honestly, Nevermind, I ain't really dragged that too much. But
stop doing that.
So.
So we signing Drake.
It's a good album, right?
Who we dropping? Oh, yeah. Who we developing?
Developing is an interesting thing. That's the interesting thing.
Developing is a strong word.
Damn, man. You know, I love Cole, man. That's my guy. I feel like Cole is the one as far as lyrics. He's my favorite lyricist from this generation. But I mean, of course, K-Dot is K-Dot. You know, he's earned his spot. So I can't drop K-Dot. That's blasphemy.
So
you gotta develop K-Dot. That sounds crazy to say.
We gotta finish the statement, and we drop it.
So we gotta drop Cole. Shout out to Cole. Yeah. Shout out to Cole.
This nigga says,
Cole World.
Yeah.
Cole World.
I think that's the order. I think you definitely gotta sign Drake for the longevity, and for the variety, and the way he's able to adjust.
Yeah.
We'll see how he comes. This is gonna have to be his biggest adjustment. That what's happened now, but. I mean, the dude's versatility is unmatched. Mm. Like you said, like, we love Jay.
Yeah.
But has he had a run like this?
Yeah.
Right? Will we ever see another run like this? The way that music is so disposable now, right? Like, who is the next guy? So even now, we're talking about these three. Who's the next three? Because these guys are in their mid-30s.
Yeah.
Who's the next three?
Shit, almost late 30s,
motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, there ain't no next three.
Yeah.
So, like, we may never see a run like this again. So he's definitely the one to sign. I won't use the word develop, but the next person is Kendrick, just because of what his cultural significance and the time that he takes to curate his work. I mean, it does take us a little bit longer, but when he does deliver it, you can see it's well thought out, it's well planned, it's well timed, well executed, and I mean, as far as lyricism, like he's up there, man. Yeah, there's not too many that can do what he does. And then I got to cut Cole. And I only say that because I love Cole. I love the features he's done. I'm not sure the bodies of work have matched over the past couple of years. Obviously, we know 2014. Yeah. I liked KOD. And then after that, the bodies of work, they really ain't hit for me.
But I'll tell you this, though, on some lyrical shit, like as far as who I think is the best rapper that's a relatable, because a lot of stuff that Kendrick rap about, I don't really relate to. No disrespect to Kendrick.
For sure, no, I get you.
But like his last album, I ain't listened to the album.
Gotcha.
Cole, I fuck with Cole. Like, he spits some shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's digestible to you.
It's digestible, it's understandable, it's entertaining. I fuck with Cole on some lyrical shit. And then Drake, I feel like he spits some shit too. He's just not. He doesn't get a lot of credit. Cause I think once he said he had a ghostwriter,
it changed the trajectory. Right. How they saw him as a writer, like a gifted artist.
Yeah. Because if that never came out,
we would probably we'd be putting him up there with Jay, and
he's still up there.
He's still up there, but we would probably like we wouldn't dare say anybody's right. in the same sentence with Hov, but yeah. if he was doing that, we might be like, yo, we might need to consider.
Even like Cole, like, you're not going to listen, you listen to a Cole album, though?
I'm not invested in the album.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, when you listen to him, that's a fact, right? So
I'm not listening to nobody's album, though, to be fair. To be fair. That's not true. I'm not listening to nobody's album. I'm listening to... I listen to old albums.
Me too, yeah. We was in a place in life where we digested it. Like, I don't want to digest nothing new.
Yeah,
like,
I can't. An hour is too much.
We watched him grow.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and the things he's talking about are mature. Yeah. Right? Like, that joint when he had the mood, or the black and white cover, he's talking about the birth of his kid. And we watched that maturation. It's like, sometimes the songs are just, I phone off. The Mr. Morale project, I listen to it.
Yeah.
You gotta, like, I know, like, a certain demographic is not gonna understand it. They haven't had life experiences.
Yeah.
They haven't had emotional intelligence yet. Yeah. They're not gonna understand that.
Nah, that's not true.
No, that's 100. Did you listen to the album?
Let me speak.
No, you can't say it's not true yet unless you listen to the album.
I've gone through probably everything that he's talking about on the album.
No,
but I'm just not interested in hearing that shit.
No. Well, here's the thing. You can't say that because you didn't listen to it. And I know your life. So I know you didn't go through the things he's talking about. That's a fact.
What is he talking about?
His aunt being gay?
Oh, no, I ain't going through
that. That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he's talking about relationship issues.
Nah,
what's he talking about? Relationship issues?
That shit is crazy. Like an abusive relationship, like toxicity to the next level. I thought that was probably one of the best songs on the album. And I think he wrote Kodak Black's verses. I think those are great, too. I'm not sure. Is that proven? We don't know.
No. What is he talking about in the album?
It's his growth as a man.
He's talking about a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
Everybody can relate to that.
Not everybody can.
Listen. Most people can relate to that.
We have to wrap.
Nah.
Hold on. Last question. So we have two questions to wrap up. I'm going to wrap it up quick. I always like to do this because I think this is important. We have this segment called Credit Check. It's really simple.
Okay.
I hate when people say give people their flowers. I hate that because we only give people their flowers at their funeral. Like, nah, give me my fucking credit. I can leverage that.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to give people like yourselves a chance to shout out one to two unsung heroes in the Troy story and the Rashad story that you like, yo, just shout out to them, shoot some credit to them because they might need it. They might, you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah.
So we just give people a chance to just shout out a couple unsung heroes.
For sure. Ooh. I mean, I always give credit to Val. She was a girl from, she is a woman from our neighborhood that she actually inspired me to do social media.
Fire.
And that was, you know, I wanted to do social media for a long time before Earn Your Leisure, but, you know, you don't think people really care about it. You might be self-conscious, you know what I'm saying? So, but to see her, somebody that we know, and she just became really lit on Instagram, and I'm like, all right, if she can do it, then it gave me confidence to do it. So she definitely plays a major part, so I definitely want to give her credit for sure, because she deserves it for sure. That's something that's important. And, also, somebody that I'll give credit to is another one of our guests that came on, Derek Falcon. He kind of changed the trajectory of our show. He was a restaurant owner from Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Before him, we was doing like case studies.
Yeah.
And the format of the show was different. He's the first person that came on and broke down his business blueprint and really explained everything. That was early. That was like episode 12.
That's hard.
Then after that, that became the format. Like, for like five episodes after that, I would send his episode to guest.
Yes.
Like, listen to this. Because this is the type of vibe that we want.
For sure.
So I always give him credit as well, because he definitely changed the way that we looked at how we produce content. He played a major part in the house of EYL.
Yeah. My unsung hero, I'm going to give it to our third partner, Mike. So most of y'all, if y'all in Atlanta, y'all probably know Mike, but most of the world, you know, they don't know him as much because he is behind the scenes a little bit. But I mean, we've been brothers for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, we all grew up in the same neighborhood, been in camp since kindergarten with him.
That's hard.
But yeah, man, he's done a lot. And just to watch his growth, especially inside the business. But I remember, you know, before there was Earn Your Leisure, it was like, let's get Rashad's social media campaign. And, have him become a star.
I can tell Rashad. It's like
people don't know those conversations, but those were real conversations. And so when we got the idea, Shad was like, yo, we should bring Mike in because he has great skills from the technological standpoint. At the time, I'm just like a kindergarten teacher. You know what I'm saying? So He brought some skills to the table, which, you know, made the trifecta complete. So, you know, he's an unsung hero because he does a lot.
Sure.
And a lot of times is in the background, but it's a partnership. And so I want to give him the first one. And I got a duel for the last two. The next one would be my wife.
I was about to say, every time somebody...
Yeah, I got to.
At the house.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, this is like my partner in life, but also inside of the world of Earn Your Leisure, she plays a vital role as a CFO. So she sees every transaction. And so she holds it down, man, on a personal level, obviously, but on a business level. The way she's been able to adjust to this new lifestyle where it's like, yo, I'm not going to work from 8:30 to 3. Like, now I got to travel every day or I got to travel every week. Being able to handle that, manage the house, and still being an incredible woman. Definitely that. And then my guy who's here with us today, man, my boy Ab, I know him since he's 9 years old, man. So to watch his growth, to know his role as the COO of Earn Your Leisure, to see what he's grown into, I'm telling you, if anybody's ever tried to get in contact with us, if they never reached out to him, it's going to be nearly impossible. To watch his growth, to watch his maturation, to see what he's developing to, and know where he's going as far as business, as far as his career. He's going to be out of here. I got to give them, because they're definitely some unsung heroes.
The last question. This show is called The God Show, which is an acronym for Goats and Underdogs. Do you guys consider yourself goats or underdogs? If you consider yourself underdogs, what do you have to do for yourself to say, I'm a goat?
What Lil Baby say? I never called myself a goat. I leave it up to people.
That's the first line that came to my head. I promise you.
Yeah.
Shout out to Lil Baby, man. But, you know, it's one of these things, right, where you kind of feel, of course, everybody has ego. Everybody's confident in themselves. Yeah. You should be confident in yourself. So you feel like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we did some amazing things and we changed trajectory. But I think... more underdogs, because like that's how we started. As you said, like, you know, we didn't start as celebrities, we didn't start with major back end, we didn't start with the best equipment, so we still kind of keep that mindset. So I think I'll kind of rephrase it as far as like which way do we lean towards. I think we lean toward more towards the underdogs, because that's who we always championed from the beginning. So that's the people that, you know, we really, you know, rock with the most, who we identify with the most. So shout out to all the underdogs out there. Underdogs on top.
Guys, I just was thinking that line. It was ridiculous. That's crazy. Hey, I definitely think it's the underdog mentality. Like you said, we didn't come in this game with no close on.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have anybody. There is no big homie for us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So as far as people think, have we ascended, we walk into spaces, it was like, introduce yourself.
The first of your kind.
Yeah, who are you guys?
Yeah.
Right, and so we're still kicking down barriers, right? We haven't gotten that, hey, we should pick up this entire network call yet. Or, hey, this is development, I want you guys to be part of it. So there's still so many more spaces for us to go in, understand it, learn it, teach it back to our people that we haven't gotten there yet, right? We've traveled a lot of places and people have come with us on a journey, but there's still like untapped things that we haven't learned. We just went to Cannes in June. We saw this for the first time, like, it's been going on for 70 years?
Yes.
Oh, no. Right? So there's still places like that we need to go. So we approach it with the underdog mentality. All right, we about to catch up. we bringing people with us.
Well, I don't know. I mentioned this earlier, but I'm building a set for my other show because this couch, the blue couch, is only for goats.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I don't want nobody sitting on this couch if they're not a fucking goat to me, if they haven't created what you guys created. So the real thing is, you guys are GOAT. So we're going to say it for you. Let's you guys are GOAT.
Appreciate that.
And by the way, I'm sponsored by Tote and Carry. And just as a gift,
that.
I just wanted to, like,
appreciate
just for,
that.
As a gift, I wanted to give y'all,
appreciate,
I don't know who wants
that.
Black, who wants brown.
It's that good crocodile.
It's that good, you know, like, I know you guys are moving around the world. I figure I can give you guys something. But, I just want you to know, man, like this is a 360 moment for me, because I really turned my camera phone on me because I knew I wanted to be on you guys' radar. I'm a music guy. I always get mad when artists get mad that people ain't paying attention to them. Like, are you giving them a reason?
Facts.
Are you fucking putting yourself out there? So I knew better at that moment that instead of asking, just do the work.
Thanks.
And you guys inspired me to do that. And I just want to make sure that we celebrate y'all. And to me, and by the way, thanks for allowing us to be a part of InvestFest. Nah, seriously, because, like, like, that is the that is Rolling Loud for fucking speakers right now.
You be looking for your name on them. You be looking for your name on the thing. Like, I'm higher than I was last year. You know?
So those moments, I mean, and like real talk, because you know we all working and we not worrying about, we not looking for the applause. So anytime one of those things happen, that shit means something, man. Shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Tote and Carry. Shout out to Yoko Vaca. Shout out to Two Loss. And shout out to you guys for watching. And man, shout out to y'all for not just being on this show, but showing people like myself, I'm on my second career now. Mm-hmm. Like I'm still in the other one prominent, but seeing you guys, what you guys have built, is like my way of telling my family, like, look, we can make a lot of money doing it. Like, look at these guys. Like, mm-hmm. I know the music brings in money, but I think we can get this media thing to that space too. And you guys are that for me. So you guys are the reason why I can tell my family, be quiet, because I got this right here. So I just want to thank y'all for that, man. This is the God Show. This is Earn Your Leisure, Troy and Rashad, and we are out.
Love, appreciate you.